The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by HubSpot. Imagine growing a business with high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, and wildly happy customers. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, CEO at Diverse and Engage, a DEI thought leader and a LinkedIn top voice, and I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, Dee. I'm Mita Malik, a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling author, a business leader, a LinkedIn top voice, and most importantly, a mom.
Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces from my perspective as a Black woman and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. At our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out of the story. We do change the names to protect the innocent, but then we provide you with the tips, not on how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. All right. So Mita, today's show. My friend.
Today's show, we are still overqualified and underpaid. We are still overqualified and underpaid. So Dee and I are going to spill some tea, share some stories, and leave some tips at the end for all of you. And Dee, I know we've been wanting to talk about Taraji P. Henson and her emotional, candid, revealing interview as she was promoting sharing the news of the movie, The Color Purple. And we've been holding this conversation. We wanted to share it with all of you. And so I know, Dee, you have said to me, this is a business case for what happens in corporate America. And so I want to hand it over to you, my friends, so we can get into it and discuss. And I think this is such an important topic for us to be unpacking for everyone today.
Yeah, I think this is such an important topic. And I think what Taraji did was to remind us of what we already know and to some extent, and what we've been talking about in terms of the pay disparity. It's what we already know to be true. And how do we know? Because in the US, there are three dates on the calendar where we recognize the issue of pay disparity. It's called Equal Pay Day, Women's Equal Pay Day. And it's a day when we recognize the fact that women are paid less than men. And the reason there are three dates on the calendar, because there's Women's Equal Pay Day, then there are is a Black Women's Equal Pay Day, and then there is a Latina Women's Equal Pay Day, because of the significance in the pay gap. We'll get into it deeper as we go further, but I just want to, again, sort of frame what Taraji said is this, that we are overqualified and underpaid still. And the context of her public statement a short time ago was the fact that she was casted for a job. And so it's all of us here where you applied for a job.
Yes.
And you brought your resume and your receipts and you are the baddest in the game, right? And so we'll just make this real. You in corporate America or wherever you are, you are a seasoned, mature professional, and people know your name in whatever industry. If you're in financial services, if you're in marketing, they know your name. But then you get tapped for a job and you go to apply for the job and they offer, and again, these are not the exact details of her story, but I'm framing this
for a case study.
And then so they offer you less, or you find yourself negotiating and having to remind people of your value. So we use the Taraji story as a case study for all of you, right? We are here to have this conversation and hold space for women of color who are overqualified and underpaid, much like Taraji P. Henson, okay? And so that is what we're talking about today. And like I said, we know it to be true because we have a public awareness of this because of those days on the calendar, dates on the calendar, one in March, Women's Equal Pay Day. We'll get into the specifics of what that means. And then one in August, and then one in October. And we've talked about this before on other shows. So yeah,
it's an evergreen topic. You know what I really appreciated about what Taraji shared so candidly, vulnerably? I can't imagine what that was like for her to, during an interview, share and have all those emotions surrounding her. And I related to her story. As I said, I don't identify as a Black woman. I identify with many of the experiences. And when she was talking about really revealing, okay, so you all think I make X amount, but you don't understand the team behind it. Because I think too many people will say, well, she already makes enough money. First of all, it's not about that. It's all about what you say. It's like fair and equal. Is this fair and equitable, right? So let's start from there. But also not understanding at her level, and you would say at the executive level in corporate, the team and resources behind that individual that's needed. And one of the things you've always said on the show, which I think is so important, and I'm going to say it again, it's not just about getting the CMO job and the salary and the stock and the everything in the compensation package. You remind us it's about the team, the headcount, the budget. What are you overseeing? To make sure it's on a check-the-box figurehead role. So for someone at her level, it's an ecosystem that is helping her when she is landing these huge deals that we see in the marketplace. That's what I really, really thought was powerful about the insight. Because people will say, well, you're getting X millions of dollars. Well, you don't know that I need to give 10% to this person, 20% to this person, 30% to this person. Because she doesn't do this alone. And I thought that was powerful because I don't think enough people understand that.
Yeah. So I think we don't realize in the grand scheme of things, when we run the numbers, if it's $1 million deal or a $10 million deal, that's actually the enterprise Taraji. We don't know what her salary is. And I think, again, it was helpful to know that the judgment that actors or actresses make millions of dollars or a significant sum of money, that the money comes into the enterprise and it doesn't speak to her compensation. And what we're talking about for women of color is our compensation. But I'll remind you of this also, Mita, that you've shared this on another episode about it doesn't matter what you've got going on at home. Remember when you asked for a raise and then like your boss said, well, you don't need that, right? Like it's
your husband makes more than enough money. Yeah. Why are you asking for a raise? Your husband makes more than enough money. He found out how much my husband made for a living. Yeah.
And I think that's a similar thought about this example or this case study about, well, if you already make $1 million, you don't need any more money. I think it's a similar kind of thing.
Because people will say that.
People will say that you already make enough.
You make enough. So what are you complaining about? Why are you complaining?
That's right. That's right. Either you already make enough or you don't need it. Like, so I think that's a piece. Yes. But here's the other element of that interview with Taraji and that really vulnerable moment that really spoke to me. It was when she got emotional and she said, do you know how that makes me feel? Do you know what that says? And that was the flag, because as a Black woman, I could identify with, it begs to question that you believe that we're not valuable enough, we're not worth. And that's what I sensed through her pain when she said, do you know how that makes a person feel? And I could see the trigger. You know, there is a such thing as race-based trauma. And I could see that it was not just about the offer. It wasn't just about the compensation or just about the number, but the pushback.
It's exhausting. She has to do it over and over and over and over and over again. And for most of our audience and people listening, most people She's an award-winning actress. Like, people know who this individual is. And she has, I mean, we all can pull up a receipt. She doesn't need to. So what breaks my heart, Dee, and I think it's because we are privileged and we've earned this platform and it's such a blessing, we have so many women of color who reach out to us. And I am just, in the last few weeks, have been in pain over Black women and Brown women, executives reaching out to me, where it's like this case study over and over again. How many receipts do I have to show you? How much proof do I have to give? What else do I have to show you that I have earned this? And that I have expertise and genius to do this. And it's exhausting. And I want to bring in the allies here. Because what are you all doing as you're watching these things happen? And the thing I wanted to ask you about, which I thought was interesting post the interview that she did, was now her being, it seemed to me, being pitted against Oprah Winfrey, who's one of the executive producers. And now it's pitting two Black women against each other. But Oprah Winfrey, and I don't know much about how at all about how Hollywood works, but from what I understand, the executive producer isn't the only person or doesn't have a lot of say in how much the salary of individuals, right? And so why are we picking on Oprah Winfrey? Why aren't we talking about all the other people who are there who should be advocating for her pay, just like in our workplaces?
Yeah.
Where are the allies? When you see, when you hear, you're in that talent review, and you know that Dee's getting a less raise than Bob. We're going to use Bob's name again. And yet they're the same level and Dee has done just as much, if not more. Are you going to sit there quietly or are you going to intervene and say something?
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promises pay off.
Hi, I'm Tomer Korn, LinkedIn's Chief Product Officer. On my podcast, Building One, we dive deep into what it takes to build great products. Recently, we had Zach Perret, the CEO of Plaid, and he shared about his struggles building a financial app for consumers and how he was able to turn it all around with a critical pivot. Take a listen.
I personally couldn't resonate as much with the consumer set that we were trying to reach. I just didn't have that level of empathy. When we made the shift to building a B2B product, though, I was building the product that I wanted. My co-founder and I were creating the product that we wanted ourselves, and we had so much empathy for what that product was.
Such a great insight.
You know, in that sense, we got lucky because we were creating a thing for ourselves. And then the people that we were talking to also had the same problems we did. They were fintech developers. We'd been a fintech developer. We'd been trying to build a fintech product for a year. And so we had such deep empathy. We had such a clear ability to...
If you want to hear more of Zach Perret's story and the lessons that follow, listen and subscribe to my podcast, Building One.
I think there are almost a half dozen other executive producers.
Yes.
So to your point.
From The Color Purple, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think our Oprah's good buddy, I think they're good friends, Steven Spielberg, I believe.
Steven Spielberg, right? So it's like, why are we picking on Oprah Winfrey and why is she the one when there's so many other people who are involved in this film? Like, films don't get made by one person. I know that, at least. At least I know that much. It's an ecosystem.
Right. That's such a good point. And I think to the extent that it's appropriate in that scenario for an ally to say, you know what, I got this, let me jump in. I know in a lot of the work that we do, allies or those who aspire to do something sometimes don't know what to do or where to step in. I think there's a fear there, but this, I mean, I think you just have to take a risk and you have to be courageous enough to say, you know what, I know my influence and my ability. And I know if it was my daughter, so let me do this. And I want to say two things. I once had a partner, a WB friend, and we worked together and he's super sharp and amazing. We did some great work together, but he once told me, he said, you know what, Dee, I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to go to bat for this. But it was in a similar kind of conversation, or let's just say scenario, where I, as a Black woman, he really wanted to stand up and stand in for me appropriately because he knew that he could have some influence, right? In the same way that, you know, a Steven Spielberg could say, you know what, let me step into this. And if you don't mind, I'm here for you and we're in this together. And so I'll never forget the ally that I had that was my WB friend who really stepped in a scenario. But here's the point that you also brought out, pitting women against each other. And that's a big thing that happened here, but I'm going to bring it back to corporate. That is also a thing I know that so many listeners can identify with, right? If you were the Black woman Taraji on the job and there's another Black woman who is an executive, I think I've, you know, seen this a dozen or so times. There's a senior executive Black woman at the top and folks are being really critical about, well, you could have saved so-and-so's job. You could have promoted so-and-so, but you have to think about, you don't know that she didn't try and you don't know what else is at play or at risk. And there was a time when I was really heavily on the side of, if you are at the top and you have the seat, baby, you need to go to bat. And I think that's what most people do. Like, don't get me wrong. But I think in this case study, we don't always know that she didn't or what happened behind the scenes, but I do think it's a call out of pitting us against each other.
I mean, listen, you know, I've had these conversations with you as an executive. I try to go to bat all the time as much as I can in those closed doors. But, you know, sometimes it's calculation. It's Game of Thrones. It's a political maneuver. Okay, I've tried three times with Dee and she's not moving. Now let me go to Jim and Jim's not moving and maybe Bob and this is just not going to work this time. Or because I have pushed for too many other individuals who rightfully deserved the promotion. I need some space now. I've used all my political chips for the moment. These are the realities, right? That people don't realize. That I loved what you said. You don't know that they didn't try, but you're quick to blame because it's that one person, that one Black woman who's sitting in the executive room. It's DC Marshall and it's all on her. And it's not. That burden should be shared. And you don't know what she's been able to push or hasn't been.
Yeah. And I think there was, and I can't remember, well, two things. So I've been on the other end of the call, the dreaded call when we've been friends for a long time now, when you've had to have a conversation with people and you said, no, you went back. I'm like, oh, okay. And no, I've seen you go to bat. I've heard you. I mean, I've been on the other side of conversations where you went to bat and won in some instances, delayed in others. And so that's why I said you don't know that they didn't, or you don't know what happened on the other end of the conversation. So that's one. But I also want to go back to Octavia Spencer was another case study. Actually, that's for our allies. So allies, we have to get the name. Was it, I can't remember, her WG girlfriend, her white girlfriend who advocated for her Black girlfriend.
It was Jessica Chastain?
Well, I didn't remember who, but I do remember the story. I think she just went back and said, nope, you got to pay Octavia the same or similar, or she advocated for her because she knew that she could and she just went for it. And I think that's a beautiful story of one that was successful. It's a good story for allies and people leaders all over just to, no, step in. Some things, even if it's not your responsibility, if you are in the room and at the table and you have the ear of the powers who be, you could say something because or else you do you deserve the seat? If you are not willing to go to bat, because see, here's what some will say. You don't really know when to step in, particularly when it comes to these kinds of things in terms of women of color, race, tension, and relations around pay, equity, disparities, and such. And so we hear that a lot, not really knowing what to do, not knowing when. It's okay to take a risk and you can ask for permission. I'm here if you need support. I don't know what to do, but I'm willing to support. I mean, or if you're at the table, if you're in the room.
Yes. Ask the question. And what's the question? The question could be, now that we just went through performance reviews, calibration, we've assigned performance ratings. Now we're going to get into compensation. Let's make sure that we're compensating everyone fairly and equitably. Reminding people, asking the question, because I understand the first time you do it, you're going to be anxious. You don't know. Can we just make sure? Let's just make sure we're paying everyone fairly and equitably because there's going to be adjustments, right? So all of a sudden, Bob is making a ton more than Dee. And no one realized that. Because you know what's happening too is like people are focused on the individual.
Yes. Yes.
And then you can see the bias in aggregate. Oh, well, I gave Dee 3%. Good enough. I gave Bob 10%. Yeah. Two thumbs up. And then you start looking at everything in the aggregate and you're like, what? But they're at the same level. And actually, if we look at Dee's write-up and her metrics, she's exceeded a few more than Bob did. But no one's, you see what I'm saying? People look at it at the individual. And then when you go into the aggregate, you start to see, wow, there are discrepancies. Because I am evaluating Dee through my own lens and I have bias. No matter, I'm human. So I have bias. I'm evaluating it through my lens. And I'm doing that with everyone. And then I'm not realizing what the impact in the aggregate is.
Yeah, yeah. This is so good. And that was so rich in terms of, you know, the performance appraisal process.
And I'm going to say this again, Dee. I'm going to say it for as long as I can, which is that if you are a people leader, and thank you for joining us today. If you are a people leader, it is not solely the job of HR to make sure your team is paid fairly and equitably. That is the job of a leader. You can pull the information from Workday or whatever system you have. You can talk to your HR business partner and you can say, I don't need to wait for equal pay day or performance review cycle. I'm just, you know what? It's a Tuesday. And I'm curious. It's a Tuesday. Can we have a meeting? I'd like to just take a look at my team's pay. Can I meet with someone to discuss this? Because you know what? People have left. People have come and gone. We spent a lot of money to attract this person because we needed this job. They were an external hire. What does that mean for the rest of my team? If there's one thing that you can take away from today's episode, please go do that. You could do it on a Tuesday, friends. It doesn't need to be a special day. Just do it.
That is so good. Do it on a Tuesday. You know what just showed up for me? Is it boss or basic? What you just gave is if you are a leader, it is perfectly fine, reasonable, and also your responsibility to not put the onus 100% on HR. It's what you just said, right? And if you do, that's basic. But what a real leader, when I say boss, I mean leader, high level leader, you would do that, right? I think my point as we go to close and the thing that really tugged at my heart was that what Taraji highlighted was Black women being underpaid everywhere. That's the single point. From corporate America, whether you are in industries, financial services, retail, whether you are in the public sector, whether you are on Broadway, whether you are in entertainment, and we didn't even, don't even get me talking about sports and why even athletes have to go abroad to play, it's because they don't make enough, okay? So the point here that I really want folks to know is Black women, and I'm speaking as a Black woman right now, Black women everywhere are being paid less. Even Black women business owners. I am a business owner. I am a CEO. And even still, in the same way that Taraji let loose with her pain, I have felt the pain of having to have a conversation about our value compared to a white cis male. And that is just the point that I wanted people to really know to connect the dots, because we've had this conversation before. And so when that showed up, I'm like, well, it's pretty consistent. And so just take away that it's pretty consistent. And then the last thing, equal pay day is typically in March. Now, depending on when you're listening to our show, we love that we've been here for some years now. So don't quote me on the date. It changes slightly every year. I believe this year it's on March 12th. So Equal Pay Day 2024 is on March 12th, and it marks the current state of the gender pay gap of 84% for full-time workers and 78% for all workers. And then from there, there is a day specifically for Black women, and there's a day specifically for Latina women. So I'll leave it at that. I won't go into the details, but it really just represents how much longer women have to work longer than a white cis male to earn the same.
Thank you so much for sharing, Dee. And I hope that allies, like we always say, you always say, you're hustling. These are conversations that you might not have been a part of. And thank you to Taraji for opening that conversation. Maybe she didn't expect to, maybe she didn't plan to, but I hope that people are listening to what she has to say and then thinking about how they can make a change in their workplace. Well, my friend Dee, thanks for this really amazing and emotional, powerful conversation. We're headed over to tips, and our tips today are for leaders who are listening in, who are managing teams. And so Dee, I'm going to give the mic over to you for one and two.
All right. Tip number one is know the story of Taraji P. Henson, a Black woman, is actually the story of Black women working today. It is our story of being overqualified and underpaid. And so now what can you do about it? Tip number two, if you are at the table, you have the opportunity to ask the question about fair and equitable pay, fair and equitable compensation, and make sure you use your seat and use your voice to amplify this issue for Black women. All right. And so, Mita, over to you for number three.
Number three, it's a Tuesday, it's a Thursday. I don't care what day of the week it is. If you have the privilege of leading a team, go and check if they're being paid fairly and equitably. Don't wait for HR. Ask for their help. Do it today. Thank you so much for being here. We hope you loved our conversation. If you did, please share, review, subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include Allies Unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.